Heavenly Father, Lord, we recognize that this is the Word of God. And as we come to share it this morning, I thank you for the great privilege you have given me and that my fathers have accorded me the trust to share your Word this morning. Father, I strip myself of confidence in myself alone, and I ask you for mercy. Let your mercy be superimposed, Lord, and overshadow, Lord, all of my preparation, Lord, so that you will make me, Lord, an oracle of God. Let your word flow out of me like a stream of living water. Let it bring life. Let it bring light. Let it bring encouragement and strength. Let it come forth in power, in clarity, in the simplicity and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, doing an eternal, internal work in all of our hearts, including my own, so that our wills be more submitted to your will, our minds be further illuminated by the revelation that comes from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions be further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, causing us to be more like Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that as your word goes forth, I duck under the covering of my fathers, so that, Lord, the same unction and anointing that backs your word will back this word. That wherever it goes, Lord, yokes will be broken, blind eyes will be opened, deaf ears will be unstopped, the feeble knees will receive strength, the ankle bones will be strengthened, so we will arise to take our place and to do your will, so we go closer and closer to the manifestation of your glory, in the name of Jesus. I ask for mercy, Lord God, to be faithful. Help me to be concise and to be precise. Lord, to say only those things you would have me say, not speaking unnecessary things, remaining in the Spirit from start to finish, causing me, Lord, to seek the honor that comes from you alone, so that truly, Lord God, as I do this, I will be a faithful steward of the mysteries of God. I lean on you, Lord, and I lean under the covenant of my fathers on the help that comes through their prayers. Let this word be a refreshing to my fathers, and let it be a blessing to the hearts of all of my brethren. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And once again, we're in the book of Colossians. And the last time was a really powerful time by the help of the Holy Spirit. And I was really, really blessed by all the things that Pastor shared with us the last time. Amen. Amen. I didn't hear the amen. Amen. Good. All right, because it's not just words. It's coming from the heart. Amen. Right. One last book of Colossians. We were in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 to 19. And we saw that in those verses, Paul was strongly encouraging the Colossian brethren to focus on Christ, the substance of the law, and not on the ceremonial law, you know, that they were focusing on. You know, Judaism was very strong, Lord, among the Jews, and so the Jews were sending that same message of Judaism to the Colossians, who were Gentiles initially, you know, and they were being affected negatively by that doctrine. That's the word. Okay, so Paul now wanted to set the record straight and told them that no, this one is by faith. Those ones were ceremonial. There was moral law, there was ceremonial law. Because they couldn't keep moral law was why they had to do ceremonial law. But when Jesus came, he set into motion a higher law called spiritual law. And by spiritual law, they were now able to fulfill moral law. So there was no need for ceremonial law, which is why he took it and he nailed it to the cross and says we're free. So he was now telling them that now that freedom is not to do what you want, it is now to keep the spiritual law, which is to fulfill the substance of the law, which is Christ. And Christ is the love of God personified. So we saw the last time that we are supposed to walk in divine love in all of our relationships, by faith. Bible says faith works by love. We do it by walking in obedience to the word, by the help of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it by ourselves. Okay? And we saw that the light we receive through apostolic and prophetic teaching from said fathers in the church is crucial, because it's an equipment, the Bible tells us, that enables us to walk in righteousness and brings us over time into perfection. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26. Let us turn there very quickly. Ephesians 5 26. Just as a recap. Quick. That he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the word. Washing of water by the word. See, so the God, whatever God is doing, even if God does miracles, the ultimate work God wants to do is going to be done by the word. It's very important. The miracles just they meet our need, they encourage us, but the word is taking us to the fullness of our destiny by believing it and acting on it. And that was what he was sharing with them. Okay? And we see that when you have the light of the word, just like the sun is shining brightly now, you know, nothing, there's no darkness. Nothing can hide because you have the light. The same way when you have the light that comes from fathers, it exposes wrong mindsets that you have. You know, and you stop judging yourself by what you wear, by what you eat, by which day you choose to celebrate Christmas, by this or that. Those things are shadows. The substance is that Christ came. Whether it's in December or it's in October, it doesn't matter. Christ came. Amen. That's the important thing. So we stop quibbling and stop, you know, having little divisions based on what you believe and whether you believe in washing of hands and all these things. That they're not the important thing. The important thing is Christ. Walking in love by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Pastor also taught us when he was amplifying and saying some things after we had shared, he was saying that these things have their roots in pride. And we saw in Isaiah 40 verses 3 to 5 that, you know, for the glory of God, which we're expecting to be manifest, God must deal with. No, and Bible says every let no yeah, verse 3. Okay, so the voice of him that cries, and when it says, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and what? Make straight in the desert of your soul, in the desert of your body, because the sin nature there is what makes it the desert. So make a way, a what? Highway for our God. Next verse tells us how the highway is going to be made. It says, every valley shall be exalted. Valleys there talking about insecurities and inferiority complex. It says, and every mountain and hill shall be what? Made low. Pastor spoke to us about pride and arrogance and not being able to submit to the word of God. It's not the spirit of Christ. And every crooked shall be made straight. He was talking there about incomplete knowledge. Not having or mixing knowledge with error. It's crooked. Okay, and then every rough place shall be made plain. It is when you do that, that the highways, the high things are made low, the valleys are filled, crooked places are straightened, rough places are smoothened. You now have a highway. Then you see the result in verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Okay? So we saw that last time. And when we have this light from fathers, it also prevents us from being lured away by seemingly reasonable but very false doctrine, which comes from, yes, very subtle, thank you, sir, comes from vain imaginations that leaders in the church have who do not submit to apostolic truth. Now, the thing about this, you need to understand that God has set some people in the church, and you can't upset them. 1 Corinthians 12:28, we're not going to turn there. God, Bible says, God has set some. Firstly, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. But the foundation of the church, in Ephesians 2:20, the Bible teaches us, rests on who? The apostles and the prophets. You ignore their word to your peril. You should not. Even if you're a leader and you're a pastor. Because if you don't, then you automatically expose yourself to error. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 10. Let's look at it. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So to the degree that you pick and choose. I like that one. It makes sense. I don't like that one. I disagree with that one. It's not a supermarket. In a restaurant, you can pick and choose on the menu, tick the one you like. In God's word, you accept everything. Bible says all scripture is written, is inspired. Let's look at the 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. I think it comes in here, even though I'm getting ahead of myself, but let's put it up, please. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Next verse. That's the what? Talking about you. Say, I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. That's you. That man of God may be what? Perfect. Thoroughly furnished or equipped unto all good works. Look at it in the Amplified. Give me the previous verse. It says every scripture is God-breathed and is given by his inspiration and is profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin. Nothing else can do that. It's the scripture that can and will. For correction of error and discipline in obedience and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will. Where? In your thought, in your purpose, in your action. It's a deep work the word of the Lord is doing. No fly by night gospel can get you there. Next verse. So that the man of God may be complete and what? Proficient. Proficient talks about skill. You can be skillful in dividing the word. Okay? Well fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So you can do the work. Every good work you're going to do it by the word of God. You want to do it, but if you don't have the equipment, you can't do it. So this is the spiritual equipment that God has given us. Amen. All right. So how are we then to judge ourselves? We're not going to judge ourselves by what we eat and what we wear. And how are we going to judge ourselves? We're going to judge ourselves by how much like Christ we are. How humble we are. How much of the mind of Christ we have. And how much of the fruit of the Spirit that we possess. That's how to judge yourself. You know, and you can tell where you are, and God wants us to know where we are. And we ended last time by looking at holding the head. Holding the head, Jesus Christ being the head. What does it mean by holding the head? Holding the head really is holding Jesus, yes, because we all believe in Jesus, but it's also holding those in authority over you. You know, and Pastor Dave preached the message, you know, about Elisha. Following, what's Pastor doing? I can't remember now. Pastor Ibrahim, you know, about Elisha following Elijah. When Elijah said, stay here, I'm going to this place, he said, not on your life, I'm holding the head. He followed him. From Bethel, from Gilgal, they went to Bethel. From Bethel, they went to Jericho. From Jericho, they went to Jericho. Every time we tell him, this is okay, this one is okay for you. He was like, okay, I'm following you to the head, holding the head. And if you don't hold the head, many times you can lose your head. Oh yes. John the Baptist didn't hold the head. He thought that, well, we are equals. In fact, I'm a senior by 6 months. So, what is he talking about? Let me continue my ministry and he will do his own ministry. I'll keep baptizing, he keep baptizing. We are two ministries. And he himself said that the instruction God gave him was that he should present him to Israel. So technically, that was where the instruction stopped. So he should have gone back to get the new instruction and submit. But instead, he was doing his own thing. Initially, he was in prison. He didn't understand. Then he lost his head. What does that mean to us? We will not lose our head in Jesus' name. But what does it mean to us? It means that you can live your life in such a way that you live way below what God intended. And when you get up to heaven and you look down, you're like, where did you put your head? That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So we need to understand the important things and follow. So that's what holding the head. And how do you hold the head? Hold the head by recognizing set fathers. You must discern them. Pastor Puga preached the message a while ago about discerning fathers. You know, always know what are fathers. Who are fathers? They have characteristics. One, the fruit of good treasure. When they preach the word of God, they bring revelation knowledge deep from the word of God that you did not see in the same Bible that you have. And that revelation knowledge was able to build you up and give you an inheritance. Alright, so when you see it, it's like, wow, did not my spirit burn within me when he was preaching? Amen. That's the first one. There are four qualities that I can see, you know, and three of them are internal. Only one is external. This first one is the fruit of good treasure. The next one is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of patience. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you can go there, you see it. You know, the fruit of patience. over consistency over years, they do the things they say. Amen. And you can then see the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, loving kindness, patience, demonstrated in their lives, in their conduct. Amen. That's number two. Then number three, they have signs and wonders. That's not miracle. Is the signs and wonders when they change a heart of wickedness to a heart of obedience. When they take the disobedient and make them just. When they take wicked people and make them perfect. That by patience and suffering long and changing them. If we see the example in Paul, he took John Mark from somebody who was cowardly and wanted to go back to mommy and all that. He changed him to an apostle that he could send on his own to go and say, it's profitable to me in the ministry. That John Mark is a sign of that ministry. Amen. You and I are supposed to be signs of our parents' ministry. And we give God the glory for it. Let's give God a super hand for the kind of parents we have. Amen. I mean, you know the word, you know the fruit, and you can look at your life. You can see it. Are you the same? The answer for me is no. And I'm not yet there. But I definitely wasn't where I was. Amen. Amen. And so that's how you recognize them. So when you recognize them, then you take the word that they preach, you obey the instruction, and you give to their ministry. You reverence them in your heart. When you do those things, the heavens over your life will be open, and you receive nourishment. That nourishment now makes you have balanced growth. It's that balanced growth that makes you impervious to all this false doctrine. When you grow up and you're rounded and balanced, you just hear it and just go past. Because you're already, when you are full, and they bring biscuits. What's biscuits? I had a three-course meal. I had starters. I had a main course. After and sweet, then I'm taking drink and I'm just relaxing and chilling, and you are bringing biscuits to your lung. Biscuits. What are you talking about? There's no appeal for sin. A full soul loaded even a honeycomb. So when you are full of the word, and you don't need another thing. That's why it's good to be planted under their ministry. Amen. Amen. So this today we're looking at verses 20. We're starting from verse 20. We'll just read. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Next verse. Touch not. These are the ordinances. Touch not. Taste not. Handle not. Next verse. Which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Next verse. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in real worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. God will have mercy on us. Amen. Alright, so in verse 20, we see that Apostle Paul again maintains his stance to the brethren, that it is through faith in Christ we are free from the law of sin and death. See, all these ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, God put them there. They were the law. They were a schoolmaster. The law was a schoolmaster. Give me Galatians 3:24. A schoolmaster, stop this, stop that. sometimes I'm a schoolmaster, so I understand. Don't do this, don't do that. Well, let's be together. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. What's he saying? He's saying the ultimate aim was the justification by faith. The issue of touch not, taste not, and not is not the real issue. So he's telling them the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death was supposed to be kept in check by the law was supposed to keep sin in check, but it was difficult. It was almost impossible, just by the mercy of God from the outside, that law was able to. But it did help, and to some degree. But it wasn't anywhere near what God wanted. So God had to bring Jesus and set into motion a higher law.
that removed the sin nature and equipped the saint with the spiritual power to dominate the remaining sin nature in the soul and in the body. So then, therefore, all this touch, not taste, not, is absolutely unnecessary. That's what he was saying. So why are you doing that? You know, because you can't be holy by keeping don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that. You can only be holy by doing something right. You do it from inside out. So you can be with Jesus Christ was sat with publicans. He sat with sinners, and the Pharisees were like, ah, man, yeah, he has already backslid. See the people that he's eating with. You know, he doesn't even have, but the man is holy from inside out. You can't take away from his holiness. It's a mindset, brethren. We must understand the mindset that we must, once you do the dues by the mercy and the grace of God, then you are not really bound by all these man-made laws. The Bible says, against such, there is no law. It's very important that we understand and we keep that mindset. Okay? So really, it is submission to the will of God, expressed through the God's word, that really makes us more humble and makes us more godly. What really changes us is not our own will, it is the alignment of our own will with the will of God. Look at John chapter 1, verse 13. We are not saved by our own will, we were saved by the will of God. Let's read it together. Which were born, talking about us, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It was God that initiated the plan of salvation. Every other thing man does is religion. Man's way of trying to do what God said he should do. But it is not God's way. God has his own way that man has to submit to be able to get the effect that God prescribed. You can't get the effect God prescribed by doing it your own way. And that's why, you know, any other doctrine is false. You know, because if it doesn't come and tell and align with what God has said, then it's not right. Okay? And we saw earlier on that all scripture is inspired by the word of God. So it's that inspiration word of God, that the washing of the water by the word, that really makes us holy. So holiness is not on the outside, in the trouser, in the make it big hair, you know, and all that, and look shabby. You know, wear a long face, be unhappy. That's not holiness. Holiness is kingdom, dominion of righteousness, peace, and joy on the inside that shows on the outside, in the choices you make, in the thoughts, in your actions, in your words. Then it becomes evident. Amen. All right. So how can we? So it's important to understand that. And I know that really many times we as Christians sometimes want to break certain habits. You know, we want to break a habit that you're doing, you know, and you're trying and you're using your will and you're not getting an effect. And God said, God said, I should tell you that you can break ungodly habits by mercy and truth. Look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. You can break habits by mercy and truth. His mercy is more than enough to break them. Look at it. Let's read it together. By mercy and truth, what? Iniquity is what? Purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So what is God saying there? He says, the power of God's mercy, the compassion of God that comes from outside, that deals with the consequences and the effects of sin, that now makes you and I willing, Bible says, obtain mercy and find grace. You know, so the mercy must work, and that now enables you to act upon the truth. So by asking God for mercy in that particular situation, by going to the word and finding the word of God that applies to that situation, believing it, confessing it, and by praying in the spirit, you set in motion a higher law, the blood, the word, and the spirit. And you know what? You overcome it and break the habits. So we can break habits like that. All right. Let's look at the next. Look at verse 22 now. So it tells us that which are to perish, all these commandments are doctrines of men. Doctrines of men cannot make you holy. Wash your hand, you know, wear a white garment. Sorry, I mean, but that's the truth.
wear a white garment, don't wear red, you know, don't wear shoes. And the Bible says the messenger told him, take off your shoes, off your feet. You know, this place is holy ground. So because of that now, we won't wear any shoe. It's all a shadow. It's a shadow. The substance is inside. It's inside. It is to be circumspect in your walking and barefoot, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, acknowledging God in all of your ways. So instead of doing something, you stop and wait. You can wear no shoe and you will still be doing what you want. It has a show of humility because you're not wearing shoe, and you know you've been walking on sand, walking on stone, and you'll be, yeah, I'm doing it for Jesus. But the Bible says it has a show of wisdom in real worship and supposed humility. But you know what it is? You are attracting attention to yourself negatively. That's not humility. It's actually inverted pride. It's pride and love, because instead of doing what God said you should do, you are doing your own thing in your own way, and to you it's okay, but as far as God is concerned, it does not obtaining the effect of making you more humble in your will. We can only come by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. It's very important that we understand that. Okay? Next. Right. So we see that the one says it's not in any honor to start man of the flesh. That's what it is. Look at this. Give me that last verse, verse 23. Give it to me in the Message Bible. You need to read this. Amen. Such things. You're not reading with me. Such things sound impressive if said in a deep inner voice. They even give the illusion of being what? And what? And ascetic. Ascetic means you live a very Spartan life. But they are just another way of what? Showing off. Making yourself look important. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Alright? So, it's better to come in quietly with the Spirit. The Bible says, he that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. What's the Spirit of Christ? Meekness and lowliness of heart. Just have that. It will attract grace, it will attract mercy, and it will give you victory. Amen. Right, let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Next verse. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. What a word. Next verse. For you're not dead in Jesus' name. But the Bible said it. So let's read it again. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. Where? In God. God will have mercy on us. Holy Spirit, help us, Lord. Amen. All right, let's go back to verse 1. Verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ. So he's talking about the fact that they need to have a revelation of what took place when they were raised, when they got born again, so that they can know who they really are. We said in the last lesson, I'm saying it again. If you don't know who you are, like they say in Yoruba, that's what just came to me. They will cheat you. If you don't know who you are, Satan will play you like a ball. You will settle for less than what you deserve. Not even deserve. You settle for less than what Jesus paid for. And it's when we will repent in Jesus' name. But if you don't repent, can we get to heaven? It's like, yay, what did I do? God will have mercy on us. So he says, he's talking about, he says, knowing that they have been risen with Christ. So Paul begins to inspire the brethren to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated. And this requires us to have revelation knowledge, a picture of Christ on his throne and us with him as we operate from there. Pastor has said it before and it bears repetition. I'm going to say it again. You must see yourself operating from the heavens. Jesus Christ was on earth. He said, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He was positionally on the earth, but he was operating from the heavens on the earth. What a man. If it be lawful to call him a man.
But you know, it should be the same should be said of you and I. We are men, but we are not men. We are God men. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 to 6. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, please. Let's read together. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with who? Christ. By grace are ye saved. Next verse. And has what? Raised us up together. That is us and Christ. Amen. And made us sit together. Everything is what? Together. Amen. Where? In heavenly places. Where? In Christ Jesus. You know that's where you are. Jesus has a throne. A big throne. But in that throne, there's room for you. But is it empty? Don't leave it empty. Positionally by faith, sit yourself there. Because if you sit yourself there and live like it, right on the earth, when you get to heaven, they will say, come and sit. And sit on my throne. Bible says, he that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me. Where? In my throne. Even as I also have overcome and have sat in my Father's throne. Brethren, Jesus is the pattern. You have a throne. There is a throne worth giving up something for. There is a throne worth living for. Thy throne, O God, is forever. What a word, Pastor G. That throne is an everlasting throne. This one that you have is not everlasting. It's temporal, brethren. So be careful how you live it. That's why I said, if ye then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above. Amen. Go back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. And because otherwise, you will forget the reality of that one because you are caught up with the business of this one and the glory of this one. Bible says, which where above where Christ seated on the right hand of God. That right hand, that right hand of God is a place of intercession. So you can only get to that throne by intercession. Bible says, I see the heavens opened. Angels what? Ascending and descending. It's prayer. By constant communion. Thank God for our fathers. Amen. Teaching us travailing prayer to open up the heavens. And then communion prayer to keep going up and down. Up and down. You are down on the earth, but you are up in the heavens. Father, I confess my sins in Jesus' name. I have life. I pray in the Spirit. I go up. Pull down mercy. Pull down wisdom. Pull down compassion. I come back down. Hi, guys. How are you? The Son of Man, which is in heaven. Ah, brother, it's real. It's real. It's not pie in the sky. It's an experience you can have if you pay the price. Amen. It's very important. Okay. And this is spiritual reality. Must grow. We grow into it, brethren. That's why we have to grow. This thing, you know, it can sound like, you know, but believe it. That's where it starts from. And then begin to work towards it. Because when you begin to experience it, then nobody can tell you it doesn't work. Or it's not real. It's vital to know who we are and to live like we should. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. We have to live by revelation. Revelation is key. That's what the Bible says, upon this rock will I build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. If you have revelation, Satan cannot tell you anything. The Bible says, the man's wisdom maketh his face to shine. And when you are seeing it, it's live and real. What is anybody telling you? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, please. Thank you. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, you and I, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Next verse. That the eyes of your understanding, not the physical one, the spiritual one, being what? Enlightened, that you may know, not think, not suppose, but know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Next verse. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Pastor put it like this years ago, one time. He said that you may know who you are, what you have, and the power to make what you have become a reality. It's very simple. You know, language can be very convoluted. But, you know, just who you are, what you have, and the power to make what you have a reality.
Next verse. Okay? Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ. You know, we are raised together. Very good. When he raised him where? From the dead. You know, you are in him at that time. I hope you believe that. Very good. At his own right hand in heavenly places. Next verse. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. Hallelujah. Is an eternal sitting. Is an eternal position. Far above. What is crawling over you right now? You are far above it. Far above it. As the first thing, start walking. Is the battle is in your mind. First of all, tell yourself, I'm far above all this might, all this dominion. I know it has plagued me, but the Bible says I'm far above. I believe I'm far above. Take that and then start working it out. Amen. Next verse. Next verse. And has put some things. A few things. Majority of the things. It's all things. Where? Under his feet. And gave him to be head over all things to the church. Talking about Jesus, but you know, you are together in him. Next verse. Which is his what? Body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Guess what, brethren? The fullness in Jesus is going to fill you to all in all. Jesus is the fullness, but as you walk after his example, you too can download that fullness into your life. It's not for Jesus, he was the pattern son. So that to show us that all those things are available. Look at what we have. Look at the magnitude of what we have. Now, when you know who you are, you can shun the things of this world. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Look at Moses in Hebrews 11. When I read this, like the Yoruba say, it me no. When I read it, my ears cocked and pricked up. Lord, is this a human being? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Ah, brethren, you need to be quick. Oh. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, when he was grown, and that's what John says, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Next verse. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Next verse. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I don't understand that. How can a man give up his princely privileges? The ambition to be the next Pharaoh. The seductive array of young ladies at his beck and call. How can he give up the respect and the honor of being royalty to do what? He had to have a revelation. You have to have a revelation. You cannot do those things just by your own natural man dropper. Give it to me in Message Bible. Same verse 24. Can depicts it very clearly. Please, Message Bible. Please, the Message Bible. Thank you. By faith, Moses, when grown, refused the what? Of the Egyptian royal house. Some people would die for those privileges. Next verse. He chose what? A hard life. With what? God's people. Rather than an opportunistic soft life of sin with the oppressors. Next. It's deep. Deep. Next verse. He valued suffering. Can you value suffering? Can you put a price and a value on suffering? He valued suffering in the Messiah's camp far greater than Egyptian wealth, because it was what? Looking ahead, anticipating the payoff. Hallelujah. Brethren, there's a payoff. Check it out. There's a payoff. For every suffering, there's a payoff. And you know what Moses did? God showed it to him and he saw it and said, Lie, I don't want this one. I'd rather wait. You can take it. I'm going to leave. He will say, I'm going to leave. I'll go and join them. Stay in the wilderness for 40 years. What's this? He's looking at the payoff. Right in front of us. You must see the things invisible by revelation knowledge. And make our decisions and our actions not based on what is going on now, but what is going on in the time to come.
That's the way to live your life. Supernatural, in a supernatural way. It's very important to understand. Moses saw the resurrection. He saw, this is glory. This is honor. Which one is this one that people are doing here? I beg. You can take this one. I'll wait for that one. That's what happened. He had a revelation. Moses was a big, I respect him. He was a deep prophet. Right from then, he had seen the resurrection. Joseph too saw it. Said, don't leave my bones in Egypt. Bible says in Exodus, let me just give you a scripture. I can't tell them. Exodus 13:19. Moses, when Moses had the revelation, he understood what Joseph said. And the Bible says, when he left Egypt, Moses took Joseph's bones. Because that resurrection has to do with where I end up. If I'm in the wrong place, I will not partake. So better for me to be in the right place. Carry my bones. So I can be in the right place. So when Jesus rose up from the dead, they rose with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They rose with him. Very important, brethren. It's important to know who you are. And what is at stake. The important things at stake. Everything always looks important. But there are some things that are more important than other things. Because they have a lasting effect. We have three hopes. We have the hope of things in this life. We have the hope of the resurrection in the mortal flesh. And then we have a hope of resurrection at the last day. They are not the same. Many times the hope of the things in this life is very clear to us. We have to have a career. We have to succeed in our career, and it's perfectly legitimate. We have to marry. Well, that's also good. Bible says we should. All right. We have to have a house. You can't live in the streets. We have to have a car, naturally. Okay. I have to be Mulati Tegbe. I don't have to say it. Please translate. I have to be at the same level with my colleagues. I must not be behind. It is very important, isn't it? That's the first hope. It's a very present hope. You don't need revelation for that. You live it every day. Next one needs revelation. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Quick, I need to round up, please. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Suffering. Valuing suffering. Next verse. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. This verse in the Amplified, please. In the Amplified. That if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. That is, life will not only be in my spirit, it will now be my soul, and it will now be my body. Total life, saturation of life that is flowing out of me, that they can take handkerchief from my body and go and use it. You are laughing. It's my portion in Jesus' name. Be laughing. Don't worry, be laughing. You will see God will do it for me, and he will do it for you too. Amen. That's the truth, brethren. Don't laugh. It's real. And then there's a resurrection at the last day. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Brethren, it's good to see these things so that our head will be correct. So you don't lose your head. You hold your head. May God help you hold your head so that you won't lose your head. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 40. Please. There are also celestial bodies. And what? Bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. All that glory that Moses saw was what? Terrestrial. Moses said, this is only terrestrial. I say celestial. Father, give me the celestial one. Look at the next verse. There's one glory of the sun. You can choose the one you like. Another glory of the moon. Another glory of the star. For one star differs from another star in what? Glory. Next verse. So is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is reaped in incorruption. Now, this is the point. If it is now sown in incorruption, how will it be raised? Made ko shakari. Take that home and chew on it. If you sow, yeah, normally it's sown in corruption. It's reaped in incorruption. Now, if you now sow it in incorruption, what will you get? Life from the dead. Life from the dead. So, brethren, that's what we are living for. We keep that in view all the time. We make our decisions based on that. We don't let the physical thing, natural thing, anything you do must add to that one and give you what you want here. It must not give you one at the expense of the other. That's what God is saying. And you know what this hope does? It enables us to separate ourselves from the crowd and to follow Christ within the veil. You can't separate from the crowd without revelation. Everybody wants to be on the winning train. Everybody wants to be where everybody is. It's lonely without the crowd. You have to have the presence of God with you. You have a hope. When that hope is real and it's, your mind is burning brightly, and the Bible says the presence of God is with you. The Bible says in His presence there is fullness of joy. That thing will keep you. You don't need anybody to be around you. You don't need anybody to be on the same side. You can go alone. And that's God. That's what it takes sometimes to go within the veil. Hebrews chapter 6. But we don't turn there for time. Okay? Right. So, next verse is, we have to set our affection. I've left you. I've gone back to, yes, and now I'm the next verse. So we set our, set your affection on things above. We're going to close down. Not on things on the earth. That's how you set your affection because of this hope. We now set. It's something you have to set. Your affections should not be leading you. You will be leading your affections. Your affections should not be controlling you. You'll be controlling your affections. Some people, their affections control them. I like this girl. Can't control it. Oh, it's disturbing me. Oh no, shining me. Oh God, help me. What are you talking about? You don't have revelation. That's why you go back to God and ask God, who am I? Am I supposed to be played around like a ball? I don't have money. It's controlling me. God, I'm looking for children. It's disturbing me. When are you going to do it now? You need to have a hope. You need to have that hope must be real. It will keep you until the manifestation comes of the hope in this life. It's definitely going to come. So though it tarry, wait for it. It's going to come. But you cannot be pining and everybody be seeing on your face that you are unhappy. Or that you let circumstances and feelings and affections be taking you up and down. No way. When you don't have it, like Naboth. When you don't have it, you'll be sad. Oh, I didn't have another person's vineyard. Oh, what rubbish. You don't have a hope. You need revelation. So that you can hold on to the hope that you have. And you'll be content. The Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Because you have the promise of the life that now is and the one that is to come. It's a win-win. And sometimes when the one near doesn't come, just look at the one over there. And it will keep your soul. Amen. Alright. So we set our affection. You have to set it every day. Make a decision and set your will. Okay, next verse. Right? Finally. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ God. This is a statement of fact. You are dead to sin. Whether you are experiencing it or not, is a fact. It is done spiritually. But the reality of it, you now have to experience on this side of heaven. So what I'm going to do, brethren, we have to believe it, okay? And we have to start, set our wheels daily and follow through by taking up our cross. What's taking up your cross? Giving extra time to praying in the Spirit, that right hand, and giving extra time to the Word. And the two of them combine to release tremendous spiritual power that keeps the sin nature in the flesh, in the soul, and the body under control. It rams it down and allows you to live your life. Bible says that's why it says you are dead and your life is hid with Christ God. The real life we're supposed to believe in is hidden. Bring it out. Bring it out. Live it out. Let's see that Christ lived out. As you walk in the Spirit, as you pray, as you walk in divine love, you begin to allow that life that is hid with Christ to become manifest. So the Bible, the scripture can be fulfilled that says, Christ has been evidently set forth among you. people will see the fragrance of Christ in our thinking, the fragrance of Christ in our actions, and the fragrance of Christ in our relationships. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. Talk to God. Set your affection. You need to see by revelation who you really are. Then you set your affection on the things above. God wants us to go deeper and deeper and deeper into Him. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Don't stay on the fringe. Go deeper and deeper and deeper. Go to the deep end of the pool in Christ. That's where the real you is. That's where all the deep blessings are. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Thank you, sir. That's where they are. And not in the shallow end. God wants to take us deeper. Confess your sins. I also confess mine. Receive forgiveness and mercy. And then set your affection on things above, where Christ is seated. The fruit of the Spirit. Goodwill. Forgiveness. Let it be before your eyes, moment by moment, day by day. And exercise it and live it out. And there is a payoff when you do it like that. Father of lights, draw me closer, Lord, my heart is set on you, and let me run the race of time with your life and fold in mine, and let the peace of God let it rain. Let your healing, 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 let your heal Let's raise our right hand in faith and put your left hand on your heart as we pray. Praise the Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word that you sent me today, showing me and inspiring me to hunger for more and more and more of Christ in me, day by day, moment by moment, by setting my affections on the things above, where Christ is seated, on the glory that is celestial, on the things that are eternal, so that as I follow after godliness, I will have the promise of the things of the life to come, and also the things in this life. Help me, Father, to continue to press in deeper after the example of Jesus Christ, going forth within the veil as I hold on by revelation to the hope that is set before me of becoming like Jesus Christ, having the life of God manifest in my mortal flesh, inheriting the Spirit without measure by the blood, by the word, and by the Spirit. Help me, Father, that I will not draw back. I will not look back. I will not be weary. I will not be discouraged. But I will lift up my head and press in to lay hope on all you have set before me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Rade de besata, jekre kangamira, rade de besata, baye baka, rapa kanta tom, bede de beria namado, rade de besaka le de beria, baka kombea, rade de fonsina, ralina, rode de bed, menina mado, benona baruna, rode de besata, jafreke kampangere, rekale bosa tua bide, rade de batoto, rose sega de beria, rade de be kumbale, bede de besata, Russell Segale, Randamande, Belelevesata, Rigabata, Belelata, Redanababo, Baro, Bare, Balalai, Mamba Kato, Bigalai, Severigo Tolea, Jalalai, Santa Maya, Rapa Kaka, Shekalebebusoto, Randebebe Kinemana. In Jesus' name, amen.